Thank you very much for invitation, for letting me share my reflections on this very important aspect of diversity between the people. The fact that I am speaking English is also one of the paragons of our diversity. Somehow you decided that it should be mixed, the Polish language with the English language. So this is one thing that may be a good example of the mutual acceptance of differences. And I hope that I will speak clearly enough, even in the foreign language, that all the ideas that I want to share with you will get through directly to your understanding, sensitivity, and knowledge. The subject of my presentation, of my speech, has been defined as why is it so difficult to accept the idea of neurodiversity? Diversity, per se, is quite a challenge. We have to open up to accept different nationalities, different geographical or belonging to different cultures as something that shouldn't put anybody in danger of disacceptance. But why do we want to focus on neurodiversity? This is actually a very important point, because on the lowest level of differences between people lie such concepts as our brain, our physiological functioning, our neurophysiological functioning, which make us very unique, regardless of the color of our skin, our hair, our eyes, and the shape of our silhouettes, etc. And this is like a core difference between each individual, all individuals, meaning all of us. So I prepared detailed notes, and I don't want to lose any thought that might be important to understand this complex phenomenon of neurodiversity. This question, why is it so difficult to accept the different people and embrace them as ones of us? Very important question. The question is why? And the answer is very simple. It is because of, I would like to ask you to give me a word, and I'm sure everybody would say, yeah, because of fear. This is an atavistic feeling, and especially an atavistic fear which reaches back some 10,000 years of how long the humanity exists. At the beginning, that fear was our safeguard against dangers which would come from any creature, anything, any atmospheric phenomenon, anything, and would kill humanity. So fear was our guard. We had to stick to it. We had to protect it in ourselves and pass it to the next generations. Everything that was unknown, unfamiliar, different from us was very different from what we considered right, proper, normal, and that was endangering our well-being and even existence. The roots of that fear was primitive, derived from survival needs, very logical and very beneficial in the times of scarcity of means necessary for survival. However, the civilized post-industrial societies, like we see around us, have reached such a level of life security which allows to abandon old primitive prejudices. And yet, they still haunt many groups and individuals, and not infrequently have been stimulated by certain political leaders. Because managing fear, fearsome populations, is very convenient, is promising that if I scare you of any danger, and I will tell you, yes, you are right to be afraid, and I will come and save you. And that's why you will follow me. And this is this connection. Why fear is so useful in politics. And we are not far from the experiences which are almost everyday situations in our Polish life. Coming back to neurodiversity, is a concept created some 20 years ago by an Australian sociologist, Judy Singer. She realized that we are all diversified in terms of neurological makeup of our brains. And the brain is our center of self-management. Everything that we do, think, say, feel, comes from the functioning of our brains. And it is the brains that make difference between us all. In other words, natural diversification of human brains affects how we behave, who we are, who we think we are, how we respond to such stimuli like sound, light, taste, smell, all the strong or weak stimuli which make us present in the now and here. Nobody feels right, and nobody feels wrong. We all feel as we simply do. Do we have control over it? Yes, to some extent. Maybe there will be a few minutes to prolong this speech, and I, as a psychotherapist, as a psychologist practicing, I may say that this is one of the challenges and one of the goals of psychotherapy, is helping people to adapt to different limitations within themselves and outside of themselves. So yes, it is possible, but the basis is that the truth about us is something that derives from the functioning of neurophysiological system. The concept of neurodiversity was new 20 years ago. It is still new to many, many people, many even scholarly centers. Why? Because it doesn't bring money. Or, I should say, this is wrong, what I said, because it actually shows that it may add to our economic gains also. Maybe when business, when this sphere of economic struggles have reached this realization that neurodiversity may add to our common good, then the idea started to enter academia, organizations, workplaces, and simple white population. What is revolutionary in this context is the decision to abandon discriminative attitude toward such qualities as high sensitivity or problems with social exposition, deficits in common expression, and various differences in perception of common stimuli such as those that come to us from outside world. Up to now, the medical negative diagnoses have been applied to emphasize the abnormality of those responses. We now propose to broaden the scale to include the differences in the accepted norm. Neurodiverse persons do not fit the common definition of normal or standard person. The vocabulary justifies discrimination. If we say that somebody is not normal, it immediately means that this person does not belong, is outside of the norm, of the criteria which were defined by who? By the average majority. And this is very, very unjust. Semantically, normal means proper, such as it should be. In other words, accepted. One of the arguments behind such diversification is based on the psychiatric understanding of mental health, where such diagnoses as autism, attention deficit disorder, dyspraxia, dyslexia, or Asperger syndrome. And that is why such individuals or groups have been stigmatized and often ostracized. Now, what the concept of neurodiversity really means? It focuses on the potential and strengths of the atypical population. Studies show, and the studies have been undertaken some 20 years ago in several places in the world. Studies show that up to 20% of general population meets the criteria of atypicality. This group of people can differ significantly in their thinking, feeling, and behavior from the majority of the typical, or I call them average, population. Now, let's look at the issue from the perspective of an individual human being. A child in kindergarten, a school or college student, an employee at the workplace. What do we see? In a society when human relations are based on the old prejudice and discriminative criteria of normal versus abnormal, every fifth person, remember, 20%, every fifth person meets scorn, maltreatment, or flat expulsion. They are told they don't fit. They are sent to special ed programs or recommended for social care as defective individuals, unable to contribute to the common good of the society. In this context, neurodiversity is first and foremost a permission to be yourself and to find meaning in your own individuality. It is a permission not to be afraid, not to be afraid to speak in one's own voice, especially when the subject concerns you personally. It would be a great mistake if the emphasis were applied only to the feelings, well-being, or quality of life of the atypical individuals. The society, all societies in the contemporary world, would have remained deprived of the enormous potential of the unique mentality and talents of people considered neurodiverse. It is not accidental that the highly demanding businesses and research branches have become the first to open up to embrace the atypical employees. Thanks to their incredible abilities of the atypical mathematicians, inventors, engineers, and creative employees, technological branches have catapulted in inventiveness, in ingenuity. I would like to use this opportunity to mention the postgraduate program opened up at one of the private universities, SWPS, in Warsaw. This program is a school of neurodiversity at the workplace, inclusive recruitment and management. It was inaugurated last October at the University SWPS. It is worth mentioning, especially because it is the first such program in academia in Europe and possibly the first in the world. There are controversies whether some school in Australia may fit this definition. The studies aim to educate employers and employees in how to include atypical persons in their teams. In other words, it is about adaptation of the workplaces to accommodate atypical persons' needs and utilize their unique competences such as focus on detail, creativity, spatial imagination, outstanding performance, and perseverance. It is all about understanding the value of unique people as highly competent in industries such as information technology, finance, and design, including graphic design. While that project is just the first attempt to introduce in academia the heraldic concept of neurodiversity, it has become a forerunner of the innovative idea gradually being widespread among the larger population. As a clinical psychologist and practicing psychotherapist of several decades, I'd like to note that my professional and personal involvement in promotion of neurodiversity is a response to observations of frequent incidences of discrimination and prejudice against children and adults of the behavioral or intellectual minorities. That is an unfortunate result of the old tradition of cultural backwardness and scarce public education, inequality, and human rights. I hope we'll see. yeah, I hope that these studies at the university level, as well as this conference on diversity of human beings, will eventually prevail, and the human potential of all people will be equally appreciated and included both in the social and economic spheres of our life. Let me quote here Hiren Shackel, founder and leader of American and global neurodiverse centers of excellence. He has many years of experience in planning and implementing business transformation strategies with the particular focus on talented management. He says, when we think about solving all the problems looming over tomorrow, we discover that old ways do not fit. We definitely need new ways of thinking. First of all, we need to include everyone in that process, not leaving out anybody, especially those who have a great, unknown, unique potential. In fact, it is about a huge paradigm shift. The idea that neurodivergent people would be welcomed in organizations because of what they can bring. Instead of feeling sorry for them, we should step aside and make room for their full participation in our struggle to achieve a common good for everybody. You may look at the shift in terms of promotion of human rights, but you also may see the incredible benefit from the point of view of their unique contribution to the economic gains and developments. Did you know that up to 30% of employees of the economically successful sector of digital transformation, artificial intelligence, space inventions, constitute the staff of persons who, not so long, would wind up jobless, socially rejected, with the diagnosis of Asperger, autism, or other neurodiverse disorders, put under the psychiatric care. Steve Zilberman, award-winning popular science writer, is one of the leading authors who explains the concept of neurodiversity. His book, Neurotribes, published also in Poland as Neuroplemiona, has been translated in 25 languages. See how widespread the idea that we are talking about is covering the map of the world. Zilberman says, imagine if society had put off, postponed the issue of civil rights until the genetics of race will be sorted out, or a society which denied wheelchair access to public buildings while insisting that someday, with the help of science, everyone will be able to walk. Can you see that some people, we as those some people, live now, and we cannot wait until science will provide us with means to our problems. So we should accept the concept that everybody who lives on this earth deserves being taken care of with their limitations, even though sometimes they are very different. They make the people very different from us. Together, we are building a future in which everyone is given the best chance of success and living a creative and engaged life. From the point of view of a psychotherapist, which I am, the important thing about people is not what is their hindrance or deficit, but just the contrary. The most important is what is our strength, talent, potential, and value. In psychology and philosophy of learning, such approach, known about 80 years now, is called positive reinforcement. It means, in simple words, that we all learn faster and perform better when we feel good. So simple. Of course, it applies to all in all circumstances. But if we apply this approach to neuroatypical persons, positive reinforcement takes up a special meaning. Instead of scorn or suspicion, we offer hope, acceptance, and support. So how do you think those people will feel? And how different their feeling will be from what many of them have experienced until now, when they were rejected? This is a new paradigm. Neurodiversity is the fact. The fact also is that everybody is different from somebody. Some are more different than the others. That is also an undeniable fact. In closing, I'd like to bring up an important concept of dignity, human dignity. Understanding neurodiversity is a means of protecting dignity of every person against exclusion or rejection. It is about treating us all as unique, not only the people with any kind of abnormality. We all, and they also, want to be acceptable human beings. Thank you for your attention.